Family, we have gone through three of the I am statements. I'm sorry, two of the I am statements. Know that Jesus is the bread of life and the light of the world. And I don't know about you, but I was really excited about both of those. Amen. Amen. And so now we get to Jesus. It's kind of a, I guess it's a twofold thing. He's the door. And he's a good shepherd. So those are kind of used interchangeably. Look at John 10 and 7. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. When you look at the word door in the Greek, it's the opportunity. Jesus is our opportunity for salvation. There's no other way for us to be saved other than the opportunity, the door, Jesus Christ. So he said he's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. And now he's saying he is the door. And then look at John 10 and 1. He says, I guarantee unto you, the one he that entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but climb it some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. So when he's talking about verse 2, but he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Talking about the good shepherd. So I just wrote some things down just so I can try and wrap my head around this. We know that John is writing to a Jewish population to show that Jesus is God, and the Christ, and the way, the truth, and the life. John's gospel is topical. It's not chronological like Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He's topical. He's trying to show us that Jesus is God in the flesh. He's the Son of God. The name John means that Yahweh has been gracious. God has been gracious. Somebody say amen. Amen. So Jesus in verse 1 is guaranteeing us that he's the Messiah. They've been looking for the Messiah to come. Now Jesus is saying, I am here. Anyone who claims to be the Messiah and hasn't been sent by God is a false prophet and a counterfeit God. Make a note. Oh, my God. God, speak to us this morning. It's a lot of counterfeits out there. It's a lot of false prophets out there. If they haven't been sent by God, which we know Jesus was, then they're a counterfeit God and a false prophet. Anyone who hasn't been sent by God and claims to be the Messiah is a thief and a robber and a liar and a cheat. So John just drills down. He's saying, look, I got to make sure you all understand this. And then, family, as it relates to us, you have to understand how many false prophets there are today. How many people are trying to send a message our way. Whether it's mainstream media or social media or on your job or in your home. There's all these false prophets out there today. It's only one good shepherd. It's only one door that leads to salvation. So I would say for us as Christians, and we pretty much have a small congregation, right? Not just small in numbers, but large in the things that we do. Somebody say amen. Amen. And when you come to the members meeting, you'll see some of the things we're doing throughout the world. Yes. But everybody in here is considered a leader. You're over something. You're kind of shepherding people. Amen. Right? Whether it's the men, the women, the youth. So he's talking about, but you got to be a good shepherd. He's saying that it can be no hidden agenda. We have to represent Christ, and that's the bottom line. That's what a good shepherd does. So you are shepherding. It's no hidden agenda. It's no ulterior motive. It's about being a good shepherd. All right. We're all shepherds in our home. Let me try that again. We are all shepherds in our home.
Amen.
Amen. Job, business, family, church. We have to be good shepherds. It's about following the model that Jesus Christ has set for us and pointing out all that and pointing all that we shepherd and encounter into the presence of Jesus Christ. That's the job of the good shepherd. But then the other job of the good shepherd is protecting sheep from savage wolves that are teaching false doctrine to the disciples. So as I was studying this, I had to drill down on that a little bit more. So, Crystal, take us to Acts 20 and 28. This is Paul speaking to the churches at Ephesus as he is departing. When you're there, say amen. Acts 20, 28. So if there's a good shepherd, then there's a bad shepherd. Amen. And it's unfortunate that there's false prophets, but it's not like Jesus didn't tell us. I can't tell you the number of people that have been wounded and injured in church and say, I'll never go back to church again because of the bad shepherds, because of a bad encounter with some church folks, because of religion. And so it's made plain that Jesus is the good shepherd and we're to follow that motto. A shepherd can be considered a pastor as well or any leader in the church. We know that there's bad shepherds. And family, make a note, just keep your focus on Jesus Christ. Amen. We have to. I've seen more than I want to see within the church. Good, bad, and ugly. Before I started here 7 years ago, I've been in ministry leadership for 30 years. Two churches. So that's plus 37 years in leadership. You see bad shepherds, you see them coming. Talking to a guy, he's telling me his buddy said he's gonna start a church because he needs some money. Right? He said the guy's dad was a pastor, and so he was trying other things and he couldn't. So he said, man, I'm gonna start a church because I need some money. Right? You family, you got them. You got them. They're all over. Unfortunately, you got to know the word so you can recognize what's a good shepherd and what's a bad shepherd. And then you got to make sure that within the church that you're a good shepherd and not a bad shepherd over the people that God has entrusted you to in the church. Amen? Amen. So here's Paul. We pick it up in verse, did I say Acts 20 and 28? Says, take heed, beware therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Underline the Holy Spirit. He's talking to the church at Ephesus. This is before Paul. This is his last physical appearance to the church of Ephesus, which we found out when we took our trip, which is in Turkey. He's getting ready to get on a ship. He's getting ready to leave. And it's his last physical visit. And he's saying, make sure, take heed, the flock, the people, which the Holy Ghost has made you bishops or overseers to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his blood. Make a note, it's not a little thing. It's not anything to be taken light of. Make a note and write down it's serious. It's not a casual relationship. It's life and death because it was purchased with the blood of Christ. Ain't nobody else, excuse my English, ain't nobody else died for you and me. Making all these commitments to this stuff that ain't did nothing for you. And he's saying this is not a casual relationship. It was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a serious message. Take care of the church, which is the people of God that Christ has purchased with his blood. It's serious. It's not casual. It is a life and death relationship. So think about it, family, because I don't know of any other relationship that you and I could have that is more serious than our relationship with Christ. And you want to know why, Pastor? Yes, yes, you do. All right. Because it's a matter of eternal life or eternal death. That person that just came into your life, they cannot determine your eternal destination. It's not that serious. Don't make it that serious. Amen. Don't make it that serious. See, it's a matter of eternal life and death, taking care of the church, the people of God, spreading the gospel. And we have to see the urgency in spreading the gospel to a lost and dying world. Family, we got to see the urgency in it. We don't have as much time as we think we do. We don't have time to waste. And as a body of believers here at South Bay Abundant Life Church, we got to look out for each other. We got to be good shepherds. So when we go out, we're representing a good shepherd, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Or people come in to visit and they see us and they see us representing the good shepherd the right way. And the only reason they leave is because they want to play games, and we don't play games here. We don't do gimmicks and tricks and drama, and we're not going to get, you know, holy dust and holy water from Israel, and we're not going to sell it for $100 lines and all that. We're not going to do that kind of stuff. And we're not going to tell you you're going to be blessed beyond measure when you're living in sin and practicing sin. I'm not going to tell you that. It's got to be a good shepherd. And he says it's a serious message. I know it is, because it's a serious world we live in. And when we walk out these doors, don't you think the world is playing with you, because it's not. It's trying to kill, steal, and destroy, because that's what the enemy does. So Paul is saying, look, this thing has been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, pay attention. That's what take it said. You got to pay attention unto yourselves. He's not talking about outside. He's talking about, we're talking about right here at South Bay Abundant. Pay attention to what we're doing in here. Yes. To all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. Shepherd the church of God. He's purchased with his blood. Verse 29. For I know this, underline, this is what Paul says he knows. That after my departing shall grievous, and that word grievous is savage wolves, enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He said, I'm going to leave, and there's going to be all kind of savage wolves coming in to the flock, trying to tear it apart, coming in with all kind of doctrine, all type of foolishness from a perverted priest to Jim Jones to anything else is coming in to take advantage of the flock. Beware. Stay on guard. Pay attention. Paul says it's breaking his heart. He said savage wolves. It's tough. Savage wolves will enter the church and will not spare the church. They don't care. And family, I have a note right there. There are too many cults and false prophets to name in these last days. Anything outside of the church, outside of the word of God, is being influenced by savage wolves. I have a note. It says, listen and feel the passion and the purpose and the pain in Paul's voice. He's saying, as soon as I leave, they're coming. It's how us as Christian parents, how we should feel when we send our kids off to school. And not to mention college. And the false prophets, the savage wolves that just pounce on them. We have to prepare them. We have to be good shepherds. In verse 28, he talks about the Holy Spirit. And let me just share this with you, because we've talked about it, but it always deserves repeating. Should be led by the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor, what does that look like? That looks like love. It's not a mystery. It's not mystical, it's magical. It's in Galatians 5:22. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's goodness, it's gentleness. How's your humility? How's your faith? How's your self-control? That's the Holy Spirit. We don't have to guess how we should live. It's already written. Let me ask you again, just think about this week. How was your love? Did you have joy? Did you have peace? Were you good? Were you gentle? Were you humble? Or was your greed and your pride and your ego and your envy taken over? Did you have any faith in God? Did you show any type of faith in God this week? Or did you just fall apart all week? And did you demonstrate any self-control? Or did you just say, well, this is just the way I am, and you got to deal with it? No, we don't have to. Because the word says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because his Holy Spirit is in me, I can live according to the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the gentleness, the meekness, the faith, and the temperance, which is self-control. And that's how we're to lead each other. That's how we're to shepherd each other. You're over the men, shepherd the men like that. You're over the music ministry, shepherd the music ministry like that. You're over the women, shepherd the women like that. You're over the youth, shepherd the youth like that. You're a greeter, greet the people, shepherd them like that when they come in the door. This is what Paul is saying. How else will they know that we're different from the world? They will know us by our love. They will know us by our fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Let me make a note, family, and just hear what the word is saying. And I we went from the bread of life, then the light of the world. Now he's saying, I'm the shepherd, I'm the door. We got to understand that we've gone to another level because there's so many false prophets out there. So I have a note where it just says, the false prophets, they don't care about you, they don't care about me, and they will not spare the church. The church will be a target, and the savage wolves will try to steal, kill, and destroy the flock and the church. Family, my job is to teach. It says it right here. I wrote it so I wouldn't forget. It's to teach the word of God so you can discern and recognize a savage wolf when you are approached by one. The savage wolves will fill your head with half-truths and foolishness that has no eternal value. Get you caught up in all kind of stupid stuff. Has no eternal value. Then Paul takes it a step further in verse 30. Also of your own selves. Oh, why you have to go there? Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples. Look at this is inside the church after them. So we're going to rise up and going to start our own religion, going to start our own cult. It's not based on God anymore. It's based on us. It's based on how we feel things should go. I'm not making this stuff up. I shared with you my friend whose mom was a part of Jim Jones' church. He threw the Bible down, said, we don't need this anymore. The people shouted and raised their hands. And we all know what happened with that. But she said, his mom said, she's telling me, she said, I went back that next week and I had my Bible. And Tracy and I, we joke about this. We shouldn't joke about it, but it was. But she had her Bible, and it was a baby crying. And she said, and they told her, "Look, you need to leave, because that Bible's making the baby cry."
Wow.
And that's when she got it, Stephanie, and she left, and she never went back. Mm. How do we get to the point where he throws down the Bible and says, "This is we don't need this anymore," and the people celebrate that? See, that's what this is talking about. So we can't be surprised. And family, just because you go to a bad church, don't throw God out the window with the bad shepherd. Somebody say amen. Amen. Jesus, that's why Jesus said, man, I'm the good shepherd.
Yes.
You got to trust me. Because there's savage wolves out there. I mentioned it before. The church is the only entity that doesn't get a break. You go to a restaurant, you don't like the food. The next week, you're at another restaurant. You go to church, you don't like, I ain't never going back to church. The only incident, we don't get a break. You go to a hotel, you don't like the service, it was all jacked up, cornbread got shot outside the window and all that kind of stuff, it was in a bad neighborhood. But then the next month, you're at another hotel, saying this is really nice. But you come to church and have a bad experience, I ain't never going back. You got to see the spiritual warfare in that.
Yes.
You got to see it's a spiritual war. The enemy's out to kill. Don't judge the good shepherd based upon bad men and women. So Paul is giving a hard word because it's a hard world that's not playing with you and me. False prophets arise and influence disciples to follow after them. So be careful when it becomes about them. If this ever becomes about me and not Jesus Christ, then y'all know it's time for me to go. asked me, "Pastor, I think you kind of losing it, and the board wants to meet with you, and you should have some type of letter with you saying that you stepping down." Verse 31, I love this. Two words, key words. Watch and remember. Underline those right now. Watch and remember. Man, look what Paul says. Look at the passion, the purpose, the pain. He says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of three, he said, for 3 years when I was with you, I ceased not to warn you everyone night and day with tears. I cried about it. I warned you. I'm telling you, these folks are coming. The bad shepherds are here. They're coming. Watch and remember. Paul said, for 3 years, I cried. And I shared with you. Watch and remember says observe and be vigilant. Don't forget when you encounter that smooth talking brother, when sister seductress approaches you, starts talking with a twisted tongue filled with lust and lies and lasciviousness. He said, watch and remember. Don't get caught up. In Proverbs 2:12-19, it talks about when we have the wisdom from God, it allows us to see, discern the evil man and the seductress woman. Make a note. You can read it another time. Proverbs 2:12-19. I would recommend as we continue to go through the Proverbs daily, beg for the wisdom of God to help you watch and remember. You having your prayer time and your worship time, your 5-minute worship song, your 10-minute worship song, beg for the wisdom of God to help you watch and remember so when you encounter the false prophets. And family, we think that it has to be in a church. It's not. Sometimes, yes, it is, but it's on your job. It's when you watch in social media. It's when you watch in TV. It's that coworker talking that stupid stuff. It comes from your family. And it's false prophets. And you just have to watch and remember, go, okay. And they don't mean any harm, but maybe they do. They don't understand. It's a spiritual thing. Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. They're being influenced by Satan, and they are savage wolves. Paul said, I cried for 3 years. I talked to you for 3 years, and I cried every day and every night. Family, that's how serious it is. And as I'm studying, I'm like, wow, and I got to give you the word because I got to send you out. Yes. Right? Because we got to leave here. Because yes. We know the easiest time to serve God is between 9 and 10:30. Yes. Okay, 10:45. But you don't get here until 11. Anyway, I ain't going to even go there. So it's still the easiest time. Sister Tara, I ain't going to even look at nobody. I ain't going to say nothing. All right? But it's easy for us here, but then we got to go out. Oh, and I have a note. It says, here's Paul saying, watch and remember that for 3 years I warned you about mainstream media, social media, YouTube, savages on your job. I cried every time because it's a matter of eternal life and death. Don't be deceived by these savage wolves. Gosh, that's a hard word. And family, I guarantee you that you will run into a false prophet this week. I guarantee. Make a note. Watch and remember. And God, bring it to their remembrance when they're going to be talking all kind of crazy. It's going to be about skin. It's going to be about politics. It's going to be about all that. And it's a savage wolf trying to get you distracted from the gospel. And it has no eternal value. And you have to share Christ. Say, hey, but you know what? Jesus Christ died for that. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They don't want to hear it, but you got to preach it. Watch and remember. Share the truth with them. Recognize it for what it is. A savage wolf trying to get you to follow them and their satanic doctrine. That's why Paul warned and he cried for 3 years. Because we're talking about Jesus being the door and the good shepherd of the sheep. And sheep will almost follow anything. Amen? They will. But then we'll get to the part where he says the sheep hear my voice and they follow a stranger they will not follow. But you have to be careful because sheep are easily influenced and they will follow anything. That's why Paul is saying, he has to come back to the Galatians. He said, man, I taught you guys and now you're following a different doctrine. How soon? I mean, it hasn't been that long and now you're following something else totally contrary to the word. And we all know people who have been in the word. And then you run into them, ain't seen them in a while, and they on a whole nother page. How did you get so distracted? Because of the false prophets and the savage wolves. Well, I'm following a pastor on YouTube. Okay, but what about your fellowship? What about the doctrine? What about the word of God? What about family? That's why Paul cried for 3 years. 32. All right, you know how we do it. This is a new series. We're going to stop when we stop, right? I just wanted. Verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. I present you to God. That's what a good shepherd does. Family, I'm trying to present you right to God. I'm trying to have you pursue God, go after God. And look what he says, into the word of his grace. So go after. Make a note, family. Push people to God, to the word of God's grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Paul is saying we have an inheritance. Presenting us to God. And family, that's all I really have to offer you is the word of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. And remind you of the grace of God. Amen. The grace of God, the word of God. Look at the grace, all right? Because you and I are saved by grace. Make a note of this, family, because we're sharing this in the men's meeting this morning. It's all about the grace of God. We're saved by grace. It's not merit-based. It's not works-based. It's not based on your intellect. It's not based on your education. It's not based on your sin color. What a travesty to try and reduce God to the color of somebody's skin. As if God is that shallow. We're saved by grace. He said, I'm presenting you to God, verse 32. Is that what it said? I'm presenting you to God and the word of his grace, the word of God and his grace to build you up because we get torn down. Because sometimes we think it's merit based, that I have to be so good so God will say, I love you. But it's not based on merit, it's based on grace. Family, that's all I can do is offer you the word of God, God himself, and the grace of God, which saved you and me. That's what Paul is saying. Not works, not intellect, not merit, not education, not skin color, not our political party. Stay away from the savage wolves. We're saved by the grace of God. Don't beat yourself up. On your worst day, the grace still covers you. On your best day, the grace still covers you. But our job is to since we are saved, to live like we're saved and operate according to love and the fruit of the Spirit. Because we are saved, not to get saved. I don't know about you, but if we based it on the feeling, because every day I don't feel saved. Y'all on a different level. Every day y'all just walk out floating around feeling saved. If it was based on my feelings, I don't know, maybe half the year I'm saved, half the year I'm not saved. Maybe a quarter of the year. Okay? You stop beating yourself up, but you are called to live right. Because he said the promise is to those that are sanctified, those that have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and continue to fight to live right daily. Don't confuse the struggle with the practice. We're all struggling with something, but we should be practicing no sin. Yes. Yes. If you're going to lie to me and tell me you're not struggling with something, then you are lying. Amen. Struggling with lying. That is what you're struggling with. Then. That is. I like that. Family, this is it's a tough walk in the savage wolves. We got to go and deal with them today. Tomorrow, we got to filter that. Stick to the gospel. Don't get distracted. I don't know who you're going to choose over the Bible. I'm going with the Bible on this one. If it comes down to that idiot and that idiot and that idiot, I'm going with the Bible on this one. Oh, it says the word of God builds us up. How does it build us up? I'm still in verse 32. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You can live right. You can fight to live right each day. You got to be fighting. Now, if you're just giving up, then you got to question your salvation. But I'm fighting. And you got to be convicted when you blow it and commit sin. It's like, no, it's just the way I am. I get down like this. You got to have some conviction and you got to be fighting. That's what we deal with. That's just us. And then we at night we go to bed and say, Lord, forgive me and help me to do better. And we get up and say, God, forgive me. Give me strength. And we get out and we live this thing. And it's a daily washing in the word and filling of the Holy Spirit. The Bible builds us up. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. The word of God reminds us that we have an inheritance with God in Jesus Christ. All right, let me show you, and then I'm gonna just touch it, and then I'm gonna get out of here. Okay, we're gonna stop. Turn to Romans 8:14. It talks about our inheritance. We will unpack it next week. We'll unpack our inheritance. We're walking around when he was talking to the Ephesians. He said that when Paul's talking to the Ephesians, let me see what it says. Paul's talking to Ephesians. He said, you're rich beyond measure, but you're living like beggars. And it's not a prosperity message. They just didn't know, family, we don't even know that we have an inheritance with God. We don't even realize we haven't. We think that we broke, busted, and disgusted, and that's it. We got inheritance with God. Look at verse, did I say Romans 8:14? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Family, we're part of God's family. But we got to be led by, we talked about this morning, we got to be led by the Spirit. Pastor, am I led? The love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the gentleness, the faith, the meekness, the humility, the self-control, led by the Spirit. That's what's leading you. And when you're led like that, then you know you're connected to God, and it guarantees that you are a son of God or a daughter of God. Verse 15. For you shall have not received the spirit of bondage. We don't have the spirit of bondage again to fear. So if you walk around all wound up real tight and afraid of stuff, then you got to. That's not your inheritance. But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, God's my father. Even if you didn't have an earthly father, you have a heavenly father. We've been adopted. This is our inheritance. That's what Paul is saying. Amen. But we don't live like it. We don't even think like it. Oh, man, I said I'm on. Okay, the spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Okay, it gets better. And if children, then heirs. Underline that. We are heirs of God. So what God has, we inherit it and have access to it. And joint heirs with Christ. So what Christ has, we are joint heirs. We have access to it. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Nobody likes to hear that we got to suffer sometimes, but we do. But look at verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Because we have an inheritance. That's what Paul is saying. Don't let the savage wolves come in and mess up your inheritance. They're trying to give you a different inheritance. We've been chosen by God. It's like, and excuse my language in here, it's like the spiritual lottery. Not that y'all don't play, but I'm not going to condone that. Okay? But our inheritance is like the spiritual lottery. But we refuse to believe it or even cash in our ticket. So I'm gonna leave with this. What leads you or what controls you? Right? It said in verse 8:14 it said being led by the Spirit. Okay? What leads you or controls you? The Spirit or your flesh? And then I'm just going to take you on a little journey, and then I'm going to stop, and I'm going to try and leave on a high note. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to stop. The Spirit of God or your flesh? Out of the 7 days last week, from Sunday to Sunday, how many are led by the Holy Spirit, and how many are led by the filthy flesh? I'm not talking about the struggle. I'm talking about the practice. That part of you that you allow Satan to lie to you and say, hey, man, it's just the way I am. Your inheritance depends on what you allow to lead you. Your inheritance depends on what you allow to lead you. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, or the filthy flesh. And the rest we got to pick up next week.
Somebody.
Because it's already 10:50. I think I spoke too long already. Amen? How long should a message be? About 35 minutes? Anyway. As long as it's the Word of God, preach all day. We were with some friends this past week. They were telling us about the church in Ethiopia. How many of you even know they have a church in Ethiopia? Because when Paul baptized Ethiopian eunuch, he went back and started a church. Tons of Christians throughout Ethiopia. But he was saying they went to visit one of the churches there, and the people sleep out front the night before so they can have a seat for church the next day. Going after God, and we were, our pastor, the previous church we were at, they went to South Africa. And service started at 6 that night. At 4 o'clock, the church was filled, and it was a waiting line to get in. Thousands of people. And I'm saying we just have to have that same conviction. Granted, it's different cultures, and maybe they ain't got nothing else to do. Somebody say amen. But I don't know what's more important than going after God. Family, can we give him 5-10 minutes a day? Watch and remember, your inheritance depends on what you allow to lead you. So I want us to watch and remember. Watch out for the savage wolves trying to distract you. On your job, at school, inside the church, outside the church, inside the family, your own family. God help us. So, Lord, I just want to pray. First off, we ask you for the forgiveness of sins, Lord, because we know we've fallen short, but we thank you for the grace of God. And we recognize that we're saved by grace. We're not religious, we're not legalistic. We don't try and work to be saved. We're saved, and we work because we are saved. But we just ask for forgiveness from when we've fallen short. God, we're all struggling, but we're not practicing any sin, God. And the sin, if we are practicing, we ask for your forgiveness, and we rededicate our life. God, to confess it and forsake it and to run after you. We don't want anything to allow us to lose the inheritance. We're your children. We're not the children of Satan. We don't serve him. We serve you. Convict us, challenge us, change us, transform us. Let us be good shepherds. And let us come through the door, which is Jesus Christ, the only way to salvation. Then God, let us go out and share the good news of the gospel with somebody. Bring it to our remembrance to watch and remember. In these last days, many false prophets, but let us watch and remember. So God, we rededicate our life this morning to you. And we thank you. Your word says, we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord. Your word says there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Don't have to condemn ourselves. Even when we weren't good enough, God, you died for us. And now you made us part of your family. So we are a special treasure. We're under the grace. You've built us up. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let us live this word, Lord. And when the enemy tries to remind us, Lord, let us get into your word and let your word remind us that we have an inheritance. We are your sons. We are your daughters. We have an inheritance. You didn't leave us without anything. And we love you for that, Lord, and we bless you. And not only that, in John 10:10, it says the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, God, but you've come to give us life. And that more abundantly. Thank you for the complete life in Christ. We love you for it, Lord, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hug somebody, stand to your feet, and you are dismissed.